Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum, presenting the film series Testigo Witness, Goya in the Movies. Held on Fridays in May, each film touches upon Francisco de Goya's visions of the world, including Goya or the Hard Way to Enlightenment and the discreet charm of the bourgeoisie at nortonsimon.org.
You have the chance to win a spring super sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at laist.com/sweeps.
Today on the LA Report. Police and CHP have arrested protesters on the UCLA campus who have resisted earlier orders to disperse. People have been led away with hands zip-tied behind their backs. A faculty letter to the UC chancellor decries university conduct in the clash night before last between protesters aligned with Palestinians and counter-protesters backing Israel.
They refused to protect our students that were engaging in civil disobedience.
And you'll hear how a local shelter for unhoused people is accommodating newly arrived asylum seekers. Good morning. It's Thursday, May 2nd. I'm Suzanne Whatley, and you're listening to the LA Report from LAist 89.3. The situation on the UCLA campus with protesters camped out for days escalated around 3:15 this morning when CHP officers in riot gear moved in, setting off flashbangs and starting to make arrests. Protesters linked arms and chanted "peaceful protest." Officers led many away with their hands zip-tied behind their backs. This operation began about 9 hours after authorities declared an unlawful assembly. A photojournalist who was at the scene overnight, Brian Feinzimmer, describes what he has seen this morning.
Officers moved to clear people out of the middle of the encampment and remove tents and other belongings that were set up there in the encampment to clear it of people and their belongings. I witnessed several people being detained, but I wasn't able to see them being handcuffed toward their back. The majority of people were basically moved and pushed around. While some were detained, the majority of people were kind of pushed back and asked to just disperse.
The campus newspaper Daily Bruin reports it received a text from one of the protesters saying that they were being, quote, violently dragged, unquote, from the encampment by CHP, and that officers had guns loaded with less than lethal rounds pointed at students. Earlier, the University of California's president, Michael Drake, ordered an investigation into how UCLA responded to Tuesday night's violence on campus with counter-protesters clashing with people in the encampment. Professor Nancy Mithlow, who teaches gender studies, says she's disappointed in how the university handled the situation night before last.
They refused to protect our students that were engaging in civil disobedience, were engaging in their right to free speech, that were doing actually what we want them to do here.
A letter signed by more than 200 faculty members urged UCLA Chancellor Jean Block to allow the protesters to continue the encampment and stop police from taking action against student protesters. But again, officers moved in around 3:15 this morning to get people to disperse from the encampment. We'll keep an eye on the situation. You can hear updates throughout the day on LAist 89.3 and the LAist app. In other news, state lawmakers and the University of California remain at odds over a plan to open campus jobs to undocumented immigrant students. LAist correspondent Adolfo Guzman-Lopez explains.
Tensions between the two aren't new. Maybe you remember how California Governor Jerry Brown and UC President Janet Napolitano faced off publicly a decade ago over tuition hikes and university funding. Assemblymember David Alvarez says that's not his style.
I don't operate in a world of threats. We're all in public service to do right by our community and constituents.
Last month, Alvarez authored a bill that would urge UC to let undocumented students have campus jobs. Current UC President Michael Drake has said doing so could threaten the university system's federal funding. I'm Adolfo Guzman-Lopez.
Some new asylum seekers in Los Angeles have been landing on the streets, and local shelters have been trying to help. LAist correspondent Leslie Beristain-Rojas visited a shelter in Boyle Heights where these new migrants now make up about 90% of the residents.
I visited the Proyecto Pastoral Men's Shelter at Dolores Mission in Boyle Heights, where staff says most residents are now asylum seekers from Venezuela. One man I met told me about how he'd planned to live with a friend, but that fell through, so he wound up sleeping on the street in Skid Row with other migrants, including a family. Those who work with unhoused people say it's hard to know how many migrants are falling through the cracks.
Coming up, hear what the U.S. Department of Education is saying about the problem-plagued FAFSA application process.
Support for LAist comes from the Norton Simon Museum, presenting the film series Testigo Witness, Goya in the Movies, held on select Fridays in May. Each film touches upon Spanish artist Francisco de Goya's visions of the world, including Goya or The Hard Way to Enlightenment by Conrad Wolf and The Discreet Charm of the Bourgeoisie by Luis Buñuel. Screenings are at 4:30 p.m. on consecutive Fridays, now through May 31st. More information at nortonsimon.org.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.
Back now to the LA Report. If you're a high school senior who's planning to go to college this fall, the U.S. Education Department wants to remind you to apply for financial aid. The application, known as the FAFSA, has been plagued with issues since its makeover last year, but the department says it's fixed main problems. Some applications may just need a parent or caretaker's signature to get processed. The U.S. Department says students who complete their FAFSA today can expect their records to be sent to colleges within 3 days. The deadline for four-year schools is June 30th. President Biden is expanding the San Gabriel Mountains National Monument by nearly 106,000 acres. LAist producer Nate Perez has the story.
The expansion gives more than 15 million people in Southern California access to green spaces and protects hundreds of local plants and animals. Rudy Ortega is a Fernandeño Tatavian Band of Mission Indians tribal chief. He says about a quarter of members descend from ancestral villages located in the San Gabriel Mountains.
So that's where it brings more value and meaningful to us because of that expansion to preserve and protect the natural setting of those areas.
The state and environmental groups have pledged more than $3.5 million to preserve and promote equitable access to the national monument. I'm Nate Perez.
Low clouds and fog will partly clear this afternoon. High temperatures will be in the low to mid-70s from the beaches to downtown Los Angeles, and in the San Fernando and San Gabriel valleys in the mid-70s to around 80 degrees. A little warmer in the Santa Clarita Valley as well. Thank you for listening to the LA Report. You can read more news at LAist.com or listen live anytime on the LAist app or on the radio at 89.3 FM. The AM edition is hosted and produced by me, Suzanne Whatley, with assistance from producer Tyler Wayne. Our engineer is Federico Garcia Rodriguez. Catherine Mailhouse is the Director of Content Development. LAist's executive editor is Megan Garvey. Original music by Scott Kelly. Check back here at 4 for the PM edition. Listeners like you help make the LA Report possible. Please donate at laist.com/join. And the LA Report is supported by Gordon and Donna Crawford, who believe quality journalism makes Southern California a better place to live.
All 7 states on the Colorado River may have to cut back water, but not everyone agrees on how. From Coloradans who blame others for the crisis.
There continues to be a look upstream to solve a problem that we did not create.
To farmers who may lose their livelihoods.
We don't want to cut equal with everybody else.
Will they reach a deal in time? Listen to Imperfect Paradise, the Gen Z water dealmaker, wherever you get podcasts.